Welcome to the Nations Church Wangara podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
How are we doing today? You doing good? So good. I had the privilege yesterday of going dirt bike riding for the first time since I was like in high school. And I'm a little bit sore today because my mate Gary back here took me on 100 kilometers through the bush, through all kinds of tracks and, you know, threw me in the deep end. And so if I look like I'm hobbling around a little bit, you can talk to him after and... But no, it was amazing and so good to get out in nature and see and just have fun. How many people had some fun this weekend? Anyone done anything fun so far? If not, I think you need to go do something fun this afternoon. Just like do something fun that's going to light you up because God has created you to also enjoy life. Amen? Amen. Well, we are in a season of wholeness at Nations Church. And at Nations Church, we go through seasons where we really speak into different topics and different things that we believe that God wants to establish in our life. And this season that we're in right now, we're just kind of beginning in it, is about wholeness. And wholeness is a big word, right? I mean, it literally has quite a lot of letters. It is a big word, and it may mean different things to different people. And I wanted to take a bit of time today to talk about what I believe wholeness is, what I believe the Bible teaches us about wholeness, just to set the scene for a series of messages that I'm going to be doing over the next 3 or so sermons, and we're going to begin today by just sort of setting the scene and diving into this idea of wholeness. And so, what is wholeness? It's a good question. I've actually been, you know, having some conversations with people recently, just saying, you know, how do we define wholeness? How do we actually put some words around this to understand what it is? I'm just going to read a little sentence I wrote out here. It's actually more like a paragraph, just to kind of give you the exact words that I want to give you, and then we'll kind of dig in. So here's what I've written. Wholeness is about us allowing God to make us whole through His perfect love, by trusting Him deeply, giving Him greater access to our hearts and the deepest parts of who we are, allowing Him to heal and change us from the inside out so that we can become the full expression of the person He created us to be. How many people want that in their life? To the benefit of everyone around us and to the glory, praise, and honor of His name. Does that sound like something that people want to go on a journey for in their life? It sounds pretty good, right? And, you know, it really is a journey, and it really is about allowing God to do what He wants to do. Because there's one thing that's true, is that we can't bring about wholeness on our own. We start in brokenness. We start with things missing from our life. That's what sin does to us. And the journey of wholeness is about allowing God to do all the work that's needed within us to bring us to a more whole place as a human and as a person. Let me give a few more descriptors to create a bit of a picture of wholeness. And hopefully this will help us just to go, okay, yeah, I kind of get it. I get where we're going with this. You know, have you ever heard the term... when someone had something stolen from them, whether it was a car, finance, you know, a legal right to something, or just something stolen and ripped out of their life, and you've heard the term said, they need to be made whole. Or someone said, don't worry, man, we're gonna make you whole. In other words, we're gonna get it back to you, right? We're gonna restore to you the money. You often hear it in movies when someone's had something stolen and then they bring all their goons around, they're like, you know, come on, man, I need to be made whole. You need to get my stuff back for me, you know? You ever know what I'm talking about? Or am I the only one that watches weird movies like with gangsters and stuff being stolen? But there's this idea that you had something, but it got taken, but you'll be made whole when it comes back. Does that make sense? When you get it back, you'll be made whole. And the Bible tells us, or Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, that the devil, who He uses the word, aka the thief, is all about stealing things from people's lives. And the Bible says in John 10, verse 10, the thief, this is Jesus speaking, the thief does not come except to do these things. In other words, the devil will not show up in your life unless he's going to do one of these 3 things. In other words, he doesn't just show up and say, how's it going? He doesn't show up and just like chill out. He's not interested in small talk, all right? The devil has one agenda. Are you with me? And the Bible says this is what it is. He comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. Somebody say life. and that they may have it more abundantly. And so the Bible's really clear that the devil's agenda and what he has a field day in people's lives through our agreement with him, through sin, through the fall of man, when Adam handed over the authority given to him in the garden to the enemy. Through all of human history, the devil has been out to steal, kill, and destroy when it comes to us as people. He looks to steal from us, to kill and to destroy. And I want to focus in on this idea of stealing that, you know, before we met Jesus, I can guarantee that the devil stole at least one thing from your life. Before you came to know Christ, the devil was busy trying to steal from you. And through all the things that happened in our life and through the brokenness of sin and the brokenness of other people and all the different things we've experienced, the devil has tried to steal, and he has actually stolen things from us. But Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." In other words, the devil stole from you, but Jesus said, "I've come to make you whole." Is anyone following me today? The devil might have stolen your joy, but Jesus said, "I come to get it back to you and to make you whole." The devil might have stolen finance from you, but I've come to get it back to you and even more than he stole and to make you whole. Come on, somebody. The devil might have stolen a relationship from you, but the Bible says Jesus came to restore and to make us whole and to give us a life of abundance. And that life of abundance is a life of wholeness. Are we starting to get a little bit of a picture of what this is about? Another picture that I think is really helpful comes from the Old Testament word peace. In the Old Testament, the word for peace in the Hebrew language is the word shalom. Anyone say shalom with me? Shalom. Now, this is a really cool word. If you've watched The Chosen, which is set in the Jewish times and with Jewish people, they greet each other with this word shalom. Shalom, shalom. And they greet each other with shalom. And then when they depart from each other, they say shalom. They kind of wrap their engagement with each other in this word shalom. And the Bible uses this word shalom hundreds of times in the Old Testament. And Jewish people use it as a greeting and as a sign off, because as they say it, they believe that they are declaring this word shalom over the person they are greeting. And what they're declaring is actually the Lord's peace. So when I meet with Carlo and I say, "Shalom, shalom, brother," I'm saying, "The Lord's peace be upon you." And when I leave him, so I'm greeting him with peace and I'm leaving him with peace. And the reason it's significant is because the Jewish people understand that this word shalom, this kind of peace, this is not the kind of peace where you're just having a really peaceful morning with your coffee and there's no kids around and it's just tranquility. I mean, I'm all for tranquility, but this is a deeper kind of peace than simply an environment of peace or, you know, sipping some cool drinks and, you know, chicken satay skewers by the pool in Bali, which I'm all for that. I'm going to be doing that later this year. Hallelujah. First time since COVID. Bring it on. And but that's not the kind of peace. That's not really what shalom means. Shalom is so much more than that. It doesn't mean that you can't have that, but it's so much more than that. And so when they're declaring this over each other, there's a sense of understanding. I'm declaring the peace of God. And this word shalom, peace, actually is there's an understanding that this only comes from the Lord. It's something that only He can give. Amen? It's not the word. Jesus said, "I give you peace not as the world gives." You know when He said that? And what He meant is that, like, what I'm giving you, shalom, you can't find it without me. It's absent. Without the Lord, this kind of peace, this kind of shalom, it's just non-existent. And so the Jewish people know this, and so they say this word peace over each other. And if we dive into this, let's go to Psalm 29:11. I think it's on the screen. This is just one verse out of the hundreds of verses that reference the word shalom. But here's what I'm trying to say. Verse 11 says, "The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with shalom." Amen? Where's shalom come from? Comes from the Lord. The Lord will bless His people with shalom. It's actually something that we have that the world doesn't have. As Jesus said, "I give you a peace that the world cannot give." And when we look at this word shalom, it's actually a really loaded word and it means so many things. And so in the Hebrew, this word literally means completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. It means safety. It means health and prosperity. It means, also does mean tranquility. Hallelujah. The Lord is for our Bali holiday. I'm sure. The Lord is for those quiet mornings with no kids around and a coffee. Contentment, peace, friendship. It means peace in human relationships. It means peace with God in covenant relationship. But this idea of making you complete, the very first meaning of this word is completeness. Shalom, peace, is to make a person complete. And there's this way of saying it that I've been saying for years, and I heard someone say it when I was younger, and it really has stuck with me, that shalom simply means this: nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing missing. In other words, anything that was stolen has been restored. Nothing broken. Anything that was damaged has now been healed, put back together. There's a sense of completeness. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? And this only comes from the Lord. We can't find it in a self-help program. We can't find it with an Instagram guru. We can't find it through material gain only. We can't find it in just in depending on another human being. It only comes from the Lord. And it's a gift to us to make us complete and whole as a person, as I said before, so we can be the fullest expression of who God created us to be. This is God's plan for us. And I've come to deeply believe that the best me is a whole me. The best me is a whole me. And the best you is a whole you. And so this journey of wholeness is so important. And I'm praying that everyone today and across Nations Church through this season will be willing to come on the journey of wholeness. You're going to hear these phrases over and over. The best you is a whole you. You're going to hear this. Come on the wholeness journey. It's an invitation. Because the reality is that this side of heaven, for those who lean in, we will continually be on a wholeness journey. There's not going to be an arrival day where it's like, okay, I've passed this wholeness test. I am now completely and 100% whole, because that would only be Jesus. But what there is a journey and a promise to continually become more and more whole and more like Jesus and more complete in Him to the end of crossing from this side of eternity to the next, where we will be fully glorified with Christ and we'll be fully whole with absolutely nothing missing and nothing broken. But I don't want to be a train wreck and then hit eternity. I want to actually incrementally get closer and closer and closer by walking out this journey that Jesus invites me on. Amen. I started out a train wreck. That's okay. That's good. That's the whole point. But when Jesus comes, He makes the promise to us to give us life. Amen. And life more abundantly. The Lord will bless His people with shalom, with peace. Anybody want to come on the wholeness journey? Anybody want to be the best version of ourselves? You know, it's a journey. It really is. And this is not something that we look to judge each other on. We're not here with wholeness measuring sticks trying to determine how far on the journey. No, no, no. Because part of wholeness is actually the ability to love somebody even when they're broken and even when there's things missing from their life. But what it does is it creates a culture when we lean in together to say we're about wholeness. And one of our culture statements at Nations Church is that we are about wholeness. We're committed to wholeness and personal growth. And wholeness is so important. And like I said, it's only something that comes from the Lord. And it's a work that we allow the Lord to do in us. Here's why. Because God is interested in the whole you and a whole you. God is interested in the whole you and a whole you. I'll say it one more time in case that was a bit of a tongue twister. God is interested in the whole of you and a whole you. Does that make sense? God is really, really interested in that. He's deeply interested in all of you, and He's deeply interested in making you whole and me whole. It's so good. So that means that no matter what I showed up with today, God is interested in you and everything that comes along with that. So if I'm in the darkest day of my life and I've got things that I've really, you know, sin in my life, I've got brokenness, I've got dysfunction, I've got, you know, anger, I've got bitterness, I've got issue, God says, I'm interested in you and I'm interested in all of that. Give it all to me. God isn't like, sort that out, and once you've figured that out, come to me. No. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and heavy laden. Jesus calls us to come as we are. He's interested in the whole you. But he loves us enough to take us like that, but he loves us too much to leave us like that. Are you with me, church? He loves us way too much to leave us in that place that is committed to our wholeness. He's committed to working in our lives to make us the whole us. He's so good. And he's interested in the whole you. It's just like the relationship of a marriage. You know, if I'm perfectly honest, I want my whole wife. I don't want part of her. I definitely don't want to share her with another man. Are you with me? Is that a fair comment? Right, it is, right? Because why, she's my wife. The very nature of marriage means it's exclusive and it's all. I'm giving my whole self to you. And God is the same. He's actually making a covenant with us that is even stronger than marriage. And he says, I'm giving my whole self to you and I want all of you. And it's not legalistic, it's not a I own you, you're my slave. No, it's the same as marriage where each party willingly gives themselves to the other. If there's coercion, if there's any sort of control, then it's not a true marriage. It's disqualified, amen? Because true marriage is rooted and grounded in love. And love has to be a willing offering. I give myself to you, that's the nature of love. And the Lord gives himself to us, and he asks us to give ourselves to him, the whole version of us, all of us. And the strength of marriage comes from giving ourselves wholly to each other. And the strength of our relationship with God really shines through when we choose to give ourselves wholly to the Lord. And it might seem a little fearful, you know, it might seem a bit crazy, like there's things in my life I've not really let God touch yet. But God says, don't fear, because I actually love all of you. Doesn't mean I'm going to leave you the same for the next 50 years, but come as you are. Amen. Turn to someone and say, that's good news, isn't it? That's good news. That's really good news. And if you're just getting on this journey of faith, it's really good news to you. That God doesn't tell you to try to fix yourself and then come to him. He just says, come to me and I'll do the work in your life. Praise God. And so let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I love this passage. It's one of my favorite passages when it comes to wholeness that just helps me to understand what God is doing and wanting to do in this space. And so we're going to jump in there, chapter 5. I've been reading from the New King James Version lately. I've decided to go back to the old school. I love all the other versions, NLT, Passion, Message. I read them all the time, cross-referencing, but for some reason, I've just been hanging out in the New King James and even sometimes the Old King James. Just, I don't know, a bit of nostalgia back to when I first started reading the Bible. But here we go, 1 Thessalonians. The Bible says, now may the God of peace, who's that? The God of shalom, himself sanctify you completely. Holy is another word for that word, completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a powerful. Can we read it one more time? Now may the God of peace, the God of shalom, himself sanctify you completely and wholly, and may your whole, somebody say whole, spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's really interesting to me that in this verse that is speaking about wholeness, that the writer, Paul, chooses to reference God as the God of wholeness. That's awesome. The God of shalom, the God of peace, may he do the full work of wholeness in you. May he bring a completeness to you and ready you for that day when you go into glory. Amen? At the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's so powerful. And this passage makes it abundantly clear to us that God is interested in the whole you. May he present you spirit, soul, and body blameless at the coming of the Lord. He's interested in the whole of us, friends. He's interested in our whole person. Not just a part of you, but the whole you and every area of your life. He wants the whole you. Give me everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, I feel the Lord saying. Give me everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and let me do what I can do with you. And he wants a whole you. So I feel like God is saying, let me work in your life until nothing is missing and nothing is broken. How many people would be willing to just, you don't have to put your hand up, but this is what today's message is. It's calling us, hey, would you be willing to let God work in your life until he completes a work where nothing is missing and nothing is broken? That's God's job. We don't fix ourselves. Amen? We're not a self-improvement network. We're not a self-help community. If it's self-help, then I've already failed. Come on, somebody. I'm here for what God can do. I'm here for what God can do in me and what God can do in you. What God can do in you and me is something we can't do in us. And so God is saying, would you let me? And this word, there's so much in this passage. I'm just going to pull a couple things out. But this word preserved here, it literally means to attend to carefully and to take care of, to guard. So your whole life, God is interested in tending to carefully and then guarding what he's doing. He's so committed to you and me. He's so worthy of praise. Can we just give him a little praise break for a second? Thank you, God. And this passage gives us this great insight into our triune nature as a human being created in the image of God. So we're created in the image of God, who is triune in nature. How many people know that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? It's not three different gods. It is one God existing in three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is triune in nature. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 1:26, I'm going to read it real quick. Then God said, let us make man in our image, in the image of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, according to our likeness. And so in verse 27, God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. Are you stoked today that you've been created in the image of the almighty, all-powerful, everlasting God? Wow, that's a crazy thing to think about. We've been created in his image. And just as God is triune in nature, he's actually made us after his likeness to be triune in nature. And the Bible tells us very clearly what that is today. It is spirit, soul, and body. Someone say it after me. Spirit, soul, and body. That's who you are. That's what makes you up. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, here's the deal when it comes to wholeness. When we accepted Jesus, our spirit became whole instantly. Instantly righteous. Instantly blameless. Instantly one with the Lord and perfect in relationship with God. Our spirit is eternal. It was created by God, but it then has no end. We are eternal beings created in the image of God. And when we were born again, our spirit became alive to God, became one with God, and we became whole in our spirit. Is that good news to someone today? You know, your spirit has already arrived. Your spirit has already arrived when it comes to being made whole. And the Bible tells us a bunch of verses that speak to this. Colossians 1:20, 1:17. 1 Corinthians 1:17, sorry, if you're writing it down. Says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. One spirit. That's that marriage. That's that covenant relationship. It's like the Lord is so committed to us that he's, I don't even know how, it blows my mind, but somehow we become one with God. Like it's just, it's too mind-blowing, but we believe it by faith, all right? In Colossians 1:21 and 22 says, this includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he's reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. Hallelujah. Now, I know if I'm looking at my other parts of my life, it feels like a contradiction to this scripture, because I can list you a list of faults. I can list you a list of things that aren't quite altogether going on yet. But that's why it's really important to understand what scripture is speaking to. This is speaking of our spirit. That's the eternal, that you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. And the spirit has been made whole through the redemption and reconciliation and the perfect and finished work of the cross. We have been made alive, one with God, blameless, righteous, set apart for him. How many people can praise God that in my spirit, I am whole. I'm a new creation. And there ain't nothing the devil can do to touch it. Ain't nothing the world can do to take it away. It is sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit unto the day of promise of the full possession of us in heaven with the Lord. Amen? So powerful. We need to know this. My spirit is made righteous and is made whole. Now, the next area, I'm going to come back to the middle one. Let's skip to the body, spirit, soul, body. Our body is temporal. So our spirit's eternal. It's going to live forever. Our body is temporary. And every day we're reminded with that reality. Every year we look at the mirror and go, jeepers. This thing's just like deteriorated a little bit more than it was last birthday. It's not fair, right? You know, trying to figure out ways to make our skin look more youthful, trying to figure out ways to get that body back that we had 10 years ago, trying to figure out ways to get more hair, trying to figure out ways, you know, to kind of modify this dying tent that is slowly fading away. I'm sorry to say, but this tent has an expiration date. And man, let's make the most of it while we have it. But let's not kid anyone. This is a temporal thing, okay? Paul says it's a tent. It's just pitched up for a lifetime and then it's gone. But the goodness of God is that when we come to that moment of stepping into eternity, we're actually going to get a brand new body, an eternal body like Jesus has. Are you with me? A resurrected body, a glorified body, that will have no sickness and no disease and no wrinkles and no aging and no broken bones. And are you with me? And if there's anything missing from our physical body, this side of eternity, when we get the new one, I'm telling you, it's going to be a complete body. Hallelujah. You ain't going to be missing any eyeballs, any limbs, any fingers. Come on, somebody. No toes missing. No kidneys missing. You might even get your tonsils back. I don't know. But you're going to have an eternal body and you're going to be in the presence of Jesus. Amen? A glorified body, just like Christ had after his resurrection. And so we also do believe for healing in our body. But let me tell you, even if you don't see it today, you're going to get it on the other side. You're going to get it on the other side. But we're believing that it'll come early for every life that needs it. Amen? We're believing that Jesus still heals today. So spirit, soul, body. So what about the soul? Wholeness is coming in eternity for our body. Wholeness has already happened for our spirit. So what we're talking about wholeness is we're really talking about a journey for the soul. This is the space where wholeness needs to take place. And so today I want to take the last 10 minutes of this message to talk about wholeness, a journey for the soul. It's a journey for the soul. Does everyone feel like they're tracking with me what wholeness is about? Wholeness is now a journey for the soul. I understand that I'm my spirit's whole. I understand that my body will be whole. And I'm believing for parts of it to get more whole even now. I'm still praying that more hair will grow on my head in Jesus' name. Prophesy to that mirror. But if not, in eternity, I'll have flowing full locks. Hallelujah. Just giving you a little insight into some of my struggles there. Because we're about authenticity at Nations Church. But right now, there is a journey for the soul that is imminent and urgent and important. We can't afford to rest on what God's done in our spirit and what he's going to do in our body in eternity. Just be, oh, she'll be right, mate. I'll just let my soul be chaotic and all kinds of crazy. No, God is very, very concerned about the soul. He is very, very concerned, deeply concerned. He wants to father us. He wants to lead us. He wants to shepherd us, because what happens in our soul affects all of our life, and it affects everyone around us. And so the Bible says that God is interested in our whole spirit, our whole soul. Amen? God wants to make our soul whole. And that's really what this next set of messages that I'm going to preach on over the next few weeks, and what this season is about allowing God to do a work of wholeness in our soul. And so today you might be saying, what is the soul? It's a great question. I'm so glad you asked. The soul can be simply defined as this: our mind, our will, and our emotions. And you could also say, aka, the heart. Not the one that pumps blood, but when you speak about that inner person of the heart, that's also the soul. Mind, will, and emotions. And so when God's talking about wanting to make us whole and tend to and care for us in our soul, he's going after our mind and our will and our emotions. He's wanting to bring wholeness to those areas of our life. Because if you think about it, the mind, the will, and the emotions are what steer our every move on this planet. That everything that's going on in my life today is somehow filtered through my mind, my will, and my emotions. And if there's things missing from my mind, will, and emotions, if there's brokenness in my mind, will, and emotions, then everything that's filtered through them will somehow be distorted or somehow be misconstrued or somehow be worked out in a way that is chaotic, hurtful, painful. There's ways there for breakdown of relationships. All those things are happening from the soul life. And so God is really interested in doing a deep work in our soul, in our mind. Somebody say it with me. Ready? Mind, will, emotions. One more time. Mind, will, emotions. Now these are those intangible things on the inside of us that we deal with every day. But it's like they can feel elusive. We know they're there. We can't pull them out and examine them. They're invisible attributes. But they're who we are. This is the soul. This is the soul of man and the soul of woman. And so God wants to bring wholeness in our mind, will, and emotions. And God is very interested in the state of our soul and making us whole in our soul, shepherding our soul. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd." What does the shepherd do in a couple of verses down? He says, he restores my soul. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Why? Because things have been stolen from my soul. Why? Because things have been broken in my soul. And the Lord is interested in restoring and giving back and tending to make our soul whole. The word restore in Psalm 23 literally means to turn back and return, to bring back, to refresh, and to repair. And God is interested in repairing this area of our life, restoring, bringing it back to what he designed it to be, bringing it back to wholeness. 3 John 1 and verse 2, the Bible says this: "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." Wow, that's an insightful passage. So you're telling me that all things in my life, even health, that could be physical health, that could be emotional health, it's all following the trajectory of my soul. My soul, as your soul goes, so goes the rest of our life. As my soul goes, so goes everything else in my life. May you be in health. May you prosper in all things as your soul prospers. God wants to give us a prosperous soul. Amen? God doesn't want us to have just a surviving soul. We're just scraping through. We're just getting through, overwhelmed in my emotions. I'm just like dysfunctional in my emotions. My mind can't handle things. My will is indecisive. It doesn't know where to go. God wants to give us prosperity of the soul, where there's strength of the soul, where there's health in the soul, where there's vitality. Amen? And He calls us on this journey. He doesn't demand that we just be there and just arrive there. He knows that only He can do the work. Prosper in all things. I'm thinking all things sounds like relationship with God, relationship with people, family, in my sense of identity, in our careers, in our finances, in our ministry, in romance and in marriage, in personal well-being, just as how in how we're going, and in friendships, in leadership, in goals and aspirations, and really just all of life. The soul is a pivotal, pivotal thing. The mind, the will, and the emotions. And so over the next few messages that I preach in the coming weeks, I'm going to talk about this. We're going to do a whole week on the mind. We're going to do a whole week on the will. And we're going to do a whole week on the emotions. Does that sound okay? And today's just a real preparation word, and we're almost done. If the band can make their way, that'll be amazing. But here's just an overview, 30,000 feet snapshot to get you thinking along this direction, because I really want us to come on the journey. But here's what I felt like the Lord was speaking to me and just leading me to say about what wholeness in the soul looks like or flows from, or and it's this. If it's our mind, will, and emotions, here's what I believe, and I'm going to teach on the next few weeks. It's a renewed mind. Wholeness in the soul looks like a renewed mind. Wholeness in the soul looks like a surrendered will. And wholeness in the soul looks like emotions that are led instead of emotions that lead. And they are led by a surrendered will and a renewed mind. So wholeness in the soul is going to look like a renewed mind, a surrendered will, and emotions that are led by a surrendered will and a renewed mind. Does that make sense? And I'll have a graphic for you next time, but it makes a nice little loop, a loop around. And, you know, when you complete the circle, you make the circle whole. And there's this idea of wholeness in a circle. You know, we don't want any pieces of the pie missing, right? We want all the pieces. We want the whole pie. And so as the band comes today, I want to finish by just beginning to say that this is a journey. This is not something that we arrive at. We check in a couple of teachings and then we're there. No, this is a life journey. I'm praying that this season will set us up for a lifelong journey of wholeness, committed to renewing the mind, committed to surrendering the will, committed to having emotions that are led, not emotions that lead. We're going to do a whole sermon on that. But I want to end in this passage. Proverbs chapter 3 is our final passage for today. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And if you look at the word heart in the original language, it's actually interchangeable with the word mind, with the word will, with the word understanding, with the word inner part, inner man, with the word soul. And so the Bible says to us, trust in the Lord with all of your soul. Amen? How do I do that? It tells us, don't lean by not leaning on your own understanding. So this season, this series is going to be about, you know, shifting the weight. Like if I'm leaning on this pulpit, which is really not that strong, which is a good example of how if we lean on our own understanding, we're on shaky ground. If I'm leaning on this, man, if I want this to carry my full weight, it's going to buckle. Can't get me stability. The Lord says, don't trust your own understanding. Lean on me. Lean on the Lord. And this journey of wholeness is about posturing ourselves to say, Lord, Help me to trust you with all of my soul, with my mind, with my will, and with my emotions. Help me to trust you with these things. And the posture of trusting him with our whole heart, our whole soul, the promise is that the Lord will direct our path. There's a promise of the life that he has for us, the paths he has for us. Not only the path, but the ability to walk that path out in our best self. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Wangara.